Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hey guys.
Yeah, so today before we get started on our awesome topic, we just wanted to respond. We had some great feedback from you guys, which we love feedback.
Yes, we love it.
But one of the things we've heard is you wish our show was longer, which we're totally humbled that you'd want to listen
Quite
to
flattering.
Us. Yeah, flattered. Exactly. But just wanted to share with you guys real quick why we have kind of chosen the format that we have. And that is primarily because it's just accessible for moms, mm-hmm. and it's something that they can listen to. You guys can listen to in a short period of time while you're doing a quick errand or you are doing a quick chore. So, and it also is just a great way for Laura and I to practice being succinct and mm-hmm. trying to really get the truths across that we think are really important. And we know that the more we talk, the more room there is for error. And yes. so we also just want to be wise in our words. But we totally hear you guys that we don't cover everything that we could cover in each episode. So if you are wanting to hear more, we do have some options for you. We are trying to offer some videos on Periscope. I think we're at Risen Motherhood and Facebook. We also have some videos on there. Generally, we'll try to talk about our topic for the week. And then we also push out a lot of articles on our social media. So if you're following us on Twitter or on Facebook, you can find a lot of resources that talk probably better than we do about what is going on or other articles we've written that are like way, way more in depth. So definitely there are like other ways. And also if you have a question about something that we didn't cover in an episode and you have like this burning, you know, desire to like find out more about it, we would love it if you guys would email that to us or contact us on social media and let us know what your question is. And you know, if it makes sense for us, we may record a whole episode on it.
Yeah, please give us ideas. Emily and I are like bursting at the seams with ideas, but we would love to hear specifically what you guys want to hear about. And we know we're constantly like, oh, we ran out of time. And, you know, and we're going to work on that. And but it is, as Emily said, it's protection for us. And we hope that it makes it more accessible to more moms. So anyway, enough about that topic. But
speaking of time,
what are we talking about today? We are talking about that terrifying time of night that all moms have. I mean, it is like an epidemic with children from, what is it, like 3 to 6 p.m., 4 to 7 p.m. bedtime. It's commonly referred to as the witching hour.
Yeah. We know that you guys all can picture the witching hour in your mind right now.
Are you shuddering? Are you shuddering? I'm sorry if you are. Hopefully you're listening to this during the witching hour and it's not so bad. But yeah, I think like we want to talk about how to do witching hour well and how to do just the evening, how to like kind of take back those last few hours of the day.
Yeah. And
so, Em, do you want to share like what your evening is like?
Yeah,
we just thought we'd swap stories.
Well, okay, so my kids wake up from naps pretty early, so usually by 1:30 or 2 I'm already looking at the clock a little bit like, whew, we got a little bit of time.
That is so stinking early. I
know, because they are really tired. They want to go down for naps about 12:30, and in order to sync it with the baby, that's what I've had to do. So it's fine, it works, but I'm always just kind of like, okay. So by about 3 o'clock, I have run out of every trick up my sleeve.
I would imagine.
I have done the crafts. I have done the outside play. You know, we've done everything. So generally, I would say I have about 2.5 hours to fill. And during that time, I don't know, I try to tap grandparents. Like, can you come over and like make my children smile? And try to do even more outside time. That's great when it's nice outside. I literally, I don't know what else we do. I guess I should get more things up my sleeve. I just try to get through because usually I've got
survive. Yeah.
2 to 3 out of my 4 kids literally clinging onto my legs. Like, yep. Yep, like, totally. You know, that full body wrap and you're like, I can't yes. walk. You need to go do something else.
Well, especially if you got 3 of them on your legs. Oh, man. Yeah, I think it's so funny because 3 to 6 p.m. or 4 to 7, whatever. I mean, that used to be when I worked. That used to be happy hour. And now it is like anything but, you know. It is like now we have renamed it to witching hour. That's just terrible. So I know like for us, my kids take really late naps. Uh-huh. Just to accommodate my husband's work schedule. So they sleep from maybe, 2 to 4. I really don't let my older one sleep past 4, but my daughter might sleep till 5. And I have just been blessed with good nappers. But so really I have the evening, but my evenings go longer. So typically my kids don't go down till 8. My older son, maybe 8:30 or 9, just to give them a little more time with dad. So I have the same amount of time probably in the end, but it's just a lot later in the day. And I don't know. I mean, my daughter used to have colic and she has always just been sort of a fuss monster. And so I feel like evenings have just always been really difficult with her, of just like crying a ton. So I usually reserve TV for that time and try to, like, we don't have any really during the day. And then it's this magical box that, you know, keeps them a little bit quiet for a while. I don't know. It's always, I feel like it's just, everyone's just drained, you know, and they're, I feel like my kids are super bored with me. I'm bored with them. We've, like you said, exhausted all the activities. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's always just, you know, okay, what I've started going on errands actually sometimes in the evening, and just it helps doing the getting the distraction, because in the morning they're just much more content on their own.
So. Oh, totally. And what Lauren and I want you guys to just hear is that this is normal. And so we know that you guys have your own stories as you're listening to this. You're like, oh, I can relate to that, or my kid is way worse than that, or whatever.
Yeah, hopefully
but
not.
It's but just at that time of day, you know, generally kids are hungry for dinner. Like Laura said, they are bored. They have done everything. You have done everything. They might be overstimulated by this point in the day, depending on how many activities you've done, or, you know, whether you've really gotten them out of their routine, or maybe they're transitioning home from a caregiver, and or maybe you're just busy and you're cooking and you're trying to pick up the house. And so you're maybe more distracted than any other time of the day. So all of a sudden the kids, they sense that.
They do. Oh, they're like, mom's busy. I'm going to make sure she focuses on me.
Yes.
That's their whole goal
in
life.
So it's very normal.
Yeah. And I was like Googling around for a study. I'm like, Emily, I'm sure there's a study out there on this. And I really couldn't find anything that like scientifically said that like we're wired to be crankier at the end of the day. But there were lots of like general psychologists talking about just how, like Emily said, blood sugar is low, like we're all getting more tired, fatigued. Mm-hmm. It's a very distracting time. We're trying to multitask with dinner and all those things. And like, this is real. It's a real thing that happens. And so anyway, knowing all of this and being able to relate to each other on this, like, where does the gospel fit into that? And, you know, we want to just, again, reemphasize that, like, making Jesus our greatest treasure, making him, that transforms everything we do as moms. And so, you know, at the end of a day, often, you know, we're tired, as we've talked about. And so we're looking for kind of the easy way out. And we're sick of disciplining, and we're not quite as on point with patience or being even as committed to dealing with bad behavior or, you know, we're kind of just pushing our kids off and we don't want to deal with everything. And I think remembering that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he suffered all of our sins so that we could have this amazing just wealth of righteousness to bring. And that comes at the end of the day too, and that he is our power source for that time. And we want to put our relationship with him above our other priorities, and that should transform the way we respond during the so-called witching hour.
Totally. And I think I personally struggle with that a lot, of especially towards the end of the day. If someone were to just like peer into my life, they might think, that, oh, Emily values her peace and quiet more than she values her relationship with her children, because I am doing whatever I can to get everything to be a certain way in our house, even if that means I have to speak harshly to my children, or I have to push them to the side, or, you know, whatever those things are. And so I think, like Laura was saying, I always have to remind myself that my children are not the interruption. Like, my relationship with them is really important, and I want to disciple them. And that's kind of my main responsibility, is to be like passing on my faith. And I do that by imaging Christ and by setting an example. And so I think it's just a mind shift, and like kind of that heart shift of saying, no, this is my relationship with my children is important. I need to stop and address this. My to-do list is important too. It's not unimportant, but there's just kind of an order there that we want to keep in mind.
Yeah. And I think when we remember just how patient and long-suffering God is with us, like we can reflect that back to our children. And, you know, we want to let his mercy and his grace motivate us just to have sweetness with our children at that time of the day, to have grace and patience with them when they are kind of, you know, going off the wall. And and like the flip side of that we kind of wanted to talk about too, is just that also kind of, we also don't want to, something that I can sometimes do is when I lose my temper with my kids, or I actually tend to more be the silent treatment type of mom. I know this is ridiculous. It's so immature, but I rarely yell at my children, but I often will not speak to them because I'm so mad. And that I know that if I speak, I will lose my temper. But I've already lost it in my heart, and I'm just choosing to give them the silent treatment. And you better believe it works on my kids. They get real nervous whenever mom's quiet. So, but you know, sometimes I can often just be like, whatever, I'm tired, I'm sick of this. I've worked so hard all day. I've done everything I can for these children, and they are not grateful. And I just think I kind of, that the common term is grace upon grace, which is so true. And I don't want to say that is irrelevant, because I think that applies so often for us to remind ourselves grace upon grace. But if you're getting to the end of the day and saying, it's okay, God will forgive me if I lose my temper here, you know, that is an area of cheapening grace. Mm-hmm. You know, you are,
basically we are just saying that, like, once we understand what grace costs, we don't want to presume upon it and, use it as an excuse to sin, in our heart or in our actions. And so, anyways, we wanted to jump into as well, just a little bit of the practical here, because we totally understand running out of patience, and Laura and I certainly don't have all the right answers, but we've tried a few things here and there, and just wanted to pass some of that along.
Yeah. And I think, like, the biggest thing to remember, that is that towards the end of the day, like, it's probably going to require a lot of heart checks.
Yes.
And it's going to require, you know, yes, there are a lot of practical things, like reserving special toys for after five, or having them, sending them outside, or feeding them earlier, things like that.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing to get across too is just like choosing your attitude during that time. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if you get to the end of the day and you're doing that day on your own effort, like, you will run out of patience and you will lose your temper. And so I feel like often it is, what's that quote? Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And I've always loved that. My mom would say that to me all the time, and I would kind of roll my eyes as a high schooler. But today I think she's so right, that it is 90% how you react to it. So when your children are pestering you and nagging on you and begging for food and acting like you have literally never fed them before in their lives, you know, remember to choose your attitude and know that, like, you have power over a bad attitude because of what Christ did for you.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, be intentional. Like, I tend to, a lot of days I'm like shocked that this happens, you know, like, what did you guys turn into at, you know, 3 o'clock? But it's like, this happens every day. We can be intentional and at the beginning of the day, focus on some of those self-care things that Laura and I have talked about, of like, what do we need to do to be pacing ourselves throughout the day so that we're not giving all of what we have, you know, so that by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we have nothing left to give, or whenever it is that you, you know, may see your children. Maybe it's 4 o'clock and you're like, I've already given all I have today. So yeah. Pacing yourself, continuing to depend on God throughout the day, exactly like what Laura was sharing, either through quiet time or through praying or through, whatever you need to do to keep your focus on the main thing. And then looking intentionally at your day and saying, how can I front load some of my responsibilities? Yeah. All because it does seem like a lot of things converge, like kind of at that 5-6 o'clock hour. But how can you intentionally say, I'm going to prep dinner earlier, or I'm going to not let my kids get out as many toys after nap time so that I don't have as much to clean up? I mean, there's a lot of those things that takes a little bit of thought, but when you do that, it is amazing. Whenever I decrease the amount of activities I'm trying to get done, and I can't just focus on my children, they're a lot happier. I'm a lot happier. And I do see more of that pacing myself, but it takes planning, moms. And so we just want to encourage you guys to put in that effort, and that it's worth it.
Yeah. Should we just take a moment here and thank God for the crock pot? So, but seriously, guys, the practical stuff, as we've talked about, we don't get too deep into tips here because you can find those a dime a dozen online, but we will link to some that have been phenomenal and helpful to us. So definitely go into our show notes and check out if you're looking to take back those last hours of your days, take back the witching hour. I think that there will be lots of great tips for you, and we just want to encourage you, like today, wherever you're at, that those evening hours are coming. So today, make a change in how you deal with them and start with your heart, ladies. So you can find us on risenmotherhood.com for all of our social profiles on Facebook and Twitter and Periscope. And certainly tune in to Facebook this week, especially. I'm sure we'll have some videos up there. And we would just love to hear feedback from you guys, or share this on iTunes. You don't share it on iTunes. You share it on however you may share it. So you guys know, you're technically savvy. So anyway, we hope you ladies have a wonderful day today, and thanks for tuning in.